This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, this is the most dangerous time of the year for teens. And we have a list that every red-blooded American needs to hear. And okay, fine, it's a best burritos in America list. But I need to hear it, and so will you. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is in the newsroom.
A high-tech peeping Tom in Seattle? How a drone with a camera can sneak up on you. Coming up.
I knew that was going to happen. He caught more than fish on his trip to the mountains. Jay Campidonia is back.
That's right, a little sinus infection. But when's the last time that you looked at your fridge, Phil? I mean, really looked inside your fridge. I'm going to tell you what your fridge is telling about you.
And he's almost perfected his bicycle kick. Say hello to Chris Martin.
I have a review from a representative of Kim Jong-un about the movie that shows the assassination attempt of Kim Jong-un.
Okay. I think I follow that.
All righty.
So glad you tuned in. Let's get things started with you, Jennifer. I knew this was going to happen with drones. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when you talk about the LAPD with a couple of drones, you know,
right.
On a weekend after a police picnic at the firing range, and then they fire up the drones and have some fun. But this,
yeah, right?
This is not
that
police.
That didn't happen, Phil.
Okay.
That didn't happen, just so you know.
All right, good.
That's not the
story.
Set
me straight. Buzz right over the house and tell me what happened.
But it could. Well, listen to this. Seattle police are investigating a report of a drone peeping into a woman's apartment window. Police were called to the downtown Seattle apartment complex Sunday morning after this woman spied one of those unmanned aerial vehicles hovering outside the building. So the woman said she was concerned that it was, you know, kind of peeping Tom in. So then an employee of the apartment building, maybe the super, says he went outside, saw a couple men piloting the drone with one of those remote controls. And probably, I got to say, it's probably less like a drone, the kind you think of that they use in the military or the police force. More probably like a quadcopter that you can stick a GoPro on.
Well, you can
smaller.
Get those at any hobby shop these days. And they're virtually inexpensive.
They're like $1,200, the good ones. But you can get one for like $200, but it doesn't go that high.
Yeah,
and also,
right.
Those are really hard to navigate, and they crash. Trust me, they crash really easily.
The $200 ones?
The little ones.
The ones that you've purchased?
Well, I don't have one that's quite that expensive, but let me just tell you, the dog goes crazy when that thing's in the air, and he can take it down.
Oh, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Good to know.
Was the end of that. But anyway, these guys just packed up their stuff and drove off, but police are checking the surveillance video around the neighborhood that might help identify him, because that's kind of a no-no. And, you know, it's been a sort of a question on how drones should be used by public agencies. Seattle abandoned their plan to use them for the police department because of the public outcry last year. So, and did you hear about this? This happened. This was just released today. There were two drone reports over major airports on the same day last month, May 29th. One of them at LaGuardia. This thing was about 5,500 feet. And it was like it had a 10 to 15 foot wingspan. A pilot reported seeing that thing as he was descending. And then, listen to this. This will freak you out. Two airliners separately approaching LAX the same day last month saw this thing about, they said it was like a trash can sized drone at 6,500 feet.
It's already out of control. This whole drone thing is a bad idea.
So should we go conspiracy theory and say these are all dry runs of some kind?
No, you could do that, but I think this is just some dudes.
Just nerds?
Yeah.
Hey, look what I got. I got a plane.
Exactly.
Look,
that's what it is.
There is a broad range of these things. Like anything with a 10 to 15 foot wingspan is really expensive. The military drones look like regular planes. And then there's the little quadcopters. So we're throwing them all in the same category.
And then you got the guys, I can build one.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And they're using them to peek into people's windows.
It is. Hey, you know what else is scary? Last week you told us about that little girl who had a facially disfiguring accident, and the story about, and it was heart-wrenching too, because the story was that she got kicked out of a KFC because nobody wanted to look at her face. But there's an update to this, and we're up in arms about it now.
Well, this is kind of terrible. There are reports, and there is the theory. The whole encounter at KFC was a hoax.
Now,
the little girl did get mauled. The little girl is recovering. She does have fundraising sites.
Yeah, I saw the photos of her face. I mean, it's brutal.
Right. No,
what
that's
happened
a real story, but there is no evidence that it actually happened at the KFC. And in fact, $135,000 has been raised. $30,000 has been pledged by KFC, but a local newspaper who is looking, of course, you know, the reporters, when they get this story, they want to go to that KFC and talk to the people there about how could that happen, who was the employee. Nobody could come up with anything. And there's no video evidence. And also, no one ordered tea and mashed potatoes as a meal or even part of a larger order on that day at any of the KFCs in that area.
That's what they said they ordered, tea and mashed potatoes, right?
Exactly. And closed circuit TV footage, neither the grandmother or the little girl were ever in the KFC branch in question at the time of that incident.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
The guy whose company owns the local franchises says the company will still give the $30,000 to the family, even though all the evidence that the event at the KFC never happened is missing. And, you know, they've hired now a third party investigator to look into it, because KFC is like, look, we have an interest in this, but we don't want to we want to put it out there and have someone else investigate and see what they can come up with. But
all right.
It's looking kind of like it was a hoax. You guys.
I don't like that. I don't like it at all.
I don't like it at all.
Something else we don't like, and most people universally in the world don't like Kim Jong-un. Isn't that right, Chris?
Right, unless you're probably part of his posse or his group.
Then you're forced to like him. But he's not a likable guy to start with. But there's this big dust-up now over Seth Rogen's movie?
Yeah, Seth Rogen and James Franco have a new movie coming out. It's called The Interview. It's about a couple of talk show hosts that turn into undercover agents, and then they're hired by the government to assassinate Kim Jong-un. And now Kim Myung-chol, the executive director of the Center for North Korea and United States Peace, has commented on the movie. Apparently he's seen it, or at least parts of it. He says, a film about the assassination of a foreign leader mirrors what the U.S. has done in many other areas. He goes on to say, and let's not forget who killed Kennedy, the Americans.
Oh.
In fact, President Obama should be careful in case the U.S. military wants to kill him as well.
This is what Kim Jong-un said.
Well, this is a representative of his. Kim Jong-un did not respond directly, though a spokesperson for Kim Jong-un, another spokesperson, has said that he probably will watch the movie, which Seth Rogen tweeted out, I hope he likes it.
All right, fine. And we, for those of you out in the dating world, you hope people like you. But, Jay.
Yes, sir.
There's a real good way to find out if somebody's going to like you, isn't there?
Well, I'm going to tell you something, and it really boils down to what is in your refrigerator and how it is put in your refrigerator. Now, I'm recently in a relationship, and the fridge, our fridge is now completely stocked. It's well organized. I go back over to my brother's apartment, nothing but beer and pizza. So what is in your fridge is telling you about your love life. Now, the guy says his name is John Stonehill, and his blog is checktheirfridge.com. So if you go out on a few dates, he recommends when you finally get over to the house, say, oh, I'll grab that bottle of wine and go to the fridge and do a quick survey. And he's got five, like, real easy things to look for. Ingredients for appetizers, bottled water, wine, beer, and some sort of like late night munchie. If they don't have those,
yeah,
you might want to turn around and go the other way.
So, what does your refrigerator say about you in the dating world? We're going to find out about that because John Stonehill is joining us live right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and not back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsakall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsakall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsakalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. If you miss any of the program today or any of our programs in the past, they're all available on demand at philhewlettandfriends.com. They're also at kfwb.com. Thank you for tuning in any time that you do. So, what does your fridge say about your love life? Let's bring on the guy behind checktheirfridge.com. It's refrigerator dating expert John Stonehill. Hey, John, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you doing, man?
Good. So, what happens? So, people send you photos of their fridges and then you give them dating advice? Is that how that works?
Yeah, or they send me a picture of their date's fridge. I've had people even send me pictures of their online date's fridge to see if they shouldn't even bother meeting the person.
So as a prelude to actually meeting in person, people have these online conversations. They say, hey, text me a photo of your fridge, please. Open.
Yeah, they actually start laughing, saying, are you serious? And they say, yeah, actually, there's this funny dating blog. It's called checktheirfridge.com. It'll be kind of fun to hear what Stonehill says, and I'll kind of give my fun little shtick.
So is this real science, or did you just kind of bogey this up for people?
You know, look, the thing I think one reason why it's resonated so well is I'd be the first one to say nothing is black and white when it comes to dating. Nothing. Nobody is the ultimate expert. As we all know, there is definitely universal truths when it comes to dating, but you can't say 100% you must do this, you must do that. Most often, it's really not just what's right for us. Now, when it comes to looking at somebody's fridge, look, we're all dating detectives, and I'm sure you've talked about this on the show before. Some people might look at a guy's shoes. Some people might look at a girl's medicine cabinet in L.A. Somebody might look at the car they drive. I find that looking at somebody's fridge, it truly says so much more about us than anything else does, because nothing says more about who we are than what we eat and what we drink. And frankly, 99% of our dates revolve around eating and drinking. So there's a direct correlation between the two, and you could really figure out a lot of fun stuff about a person.
All right, I figure I could look inside somebody's fridge and immediately tell if they're healthy.
100%. And you know what I'd say? If you can't look your best and put your best foot forward when you're single, you're going to look even worse when you're married. The fact is, life's not getting any easier. When you have that mortgage and two kids, the chance to have that healthy meal, the chance to get to the gym, it's getting less and less. So if you don't put your best foot forward, you know what's funny, and probably you and I could laugh about this as guys, and I know I have a zillion female friends that say the same thing. They say, if you want to know what your date's going to look like in 20 years, check out their mom or their dad. I always say, no. Check out their fridge, because what they're putting in their bodies now is really going to dictate what these people are going to look like.
So open pizza boxes and open milk cartons and that sort of thing, and a couple of six-packs of beer. What does that tell a lady about a man?
Well, they're definitely a dude, and I like that. And the fact is, you know what? They should have pizza in their fridge. They have their buddies over for the ball game. Everything in moderation. But if I'm seeing that six-pack of beer and I'm seeing that milk, hopefully it's skim, not whole milk, because the guy's not delusional enough to think he's still 9 years old. And they got the pizza box in the fridge. That's great. But you know what? At least have a couple of apples, have some orange juice, have some fruits, have some veggies. At least show that you're putting some effort forward to at least take care of yourself. And listen, to me, I don't care if you're a size 2 or a size 14. It's not about just 100% physicality, even though, of course, we do know that's important. But it really is about health as well. There's nothing sexy about being unhealthy. I don't care how you want to spin it.
Do you find some guys are more ingenious than others, like the ones that create the hidden compartment for cookie dough in the freezer?
I think that's great, and I think there's certain products that we're best off putting in the back. Like, for instance, when a girl has Activia yogurt, I always feel like, you know what, it's great. But hide that in the back shelf, because you know what? Guys don't want to think about how often you do your...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Is that the equivalent of the stuffed animals on the bed? Is the Activia yogurt in the girl's fridge or what?
100%. And you know what, ladies? I know you might love your niece or your nephew, but one picture on your fridge is enough. When you have a collage, that's the danger zone.
Absolutely.
Right. And then you walk into the other room and all the beauty queen tiaras are on a table, right?
100%. And that's the thing that's fascinating about the fridge. It's not just what's in the fridge. It's what's on the fridge. Mm-hmm. Do they have that gym schedule? Do they have that, like, ticket to that concert they love.
Well, let me ask you this, too. Inside the fridge, is there an important consideration if the fridge is organized well or if everything's just kind of thrown in there?
Well, Todd, you have to start working with me. This is great. If you want to see something that's clean and organized, if you go to checkthefridge.com and check out the prologue, I got my fridge epiphany by going out with this doctor who was, frankly, much smarter than I was, but she was also much crazier than I was, too. But then I went back to her place on the second date. I opened that fridge door, and it smelled like a porta potty on Coachella on day 4.
Oh, God.
On day 4.
Oh, God.
It was disgusting. No. And literally, of course, in our 20s, we're addicted to crazy. So, of course, I ended up dating this girl for a couple of months until she started those 3 a.m. arguments with my answering machine. But the reality is that if you're seeing chaos in one's fridge, most likely, again, nothing's 100%, but most likely you're seeing chaos in one's life. That's what's fascinating.
I'm telling you, John Stonehill, you're making more sense than any dating expert I've ever spoken to.
Well, listen, I'm flattered. Thank you for that. And one last thing, I don't know how much time we have, but one thing that's really fascinating is I've been in marketing and been in men's lifestyle for years. And the thing that's really interesting is when you look at the brands we buy, every brand we buy has a media plan, it has a story to tell, and it has a target demographic. So when you start looking at these brands and if you really know what you're doing, and that's my background, I could start looking at a brand going, wow, okay, that vodka, their target demo is 21 to 27. They're advertising in Us Weekly and People, more of a dummy magazine. Okay, interesting. Well, this is, that's Ketel One. That's the Diageo brand. Their target demo is more 25 to 44. They're advertising more in Vanity Fair and The New Yorker. So suddenly by even doing this little detective work, you start laying these crumbs. You start putting it all together. And before you know it, it starts creating this fascinating picture about who we are by the brands and everything else we're talking about.
Oh, that is brilliant.
It is.
That is brilliant. Because if you think about it, that's where you hide all your secrets is in your fridge.
Yeah.
You know, that's brilliant.
And it's checktheirfridge.com. We have a link on our show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com. And follow John Stonehill on Twitter. Check their fridge without an E at the end. At check their fridge without an E at the end. Is that right?
That is correct, whenever you guys want me to break down your fridge, just let me know.
Oh, God, no.
I'm here for you guys.
No, we don't do horror stories on the show. Sorry, John.
Hey, nice to talk with you. Just fascinating stuff for sure. Never really thought about it all that much.
Well, you know, thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, thank you, John.
If you want to leg up on the detective work, too, and you can't get to the person that you're interested in's fridge right away, you can always get there late at night and root through their garbage as well. That'll tell you.
Yeah, that's good, Chris.
You've done that?
I'm not saying I've done it.
People tell you.
Following logic.
People
here.
Tell you. Yeah. You know what? I wonder what's in Ryan Seacrest's fridge, Jennifer. Do you ever think about that? What kind of stuff he's got in his fridge? He probably has 5 or 6 fridges in his big palatial estate.
He probably does. And does it just gripe you that he has every job? I mean, where did we go wrong? He just started out, he was this DJ guy, and now he has every job. Every job that becomes available, let's get Ryan Seacrest. Well, now he has deals now that put him on the air at each of the big 4 broadcast networks.
Wow.
Are you following this?
Has anybody ever done that?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't think so. This is huge, though. He just signed a 1-year deal with NBC Universal that includes the major award carpets, the red carpets, in 2015. Now, that was just sort of a renewal, but he had just also signed a separate deal to host and executive produce CBS's live special Fashion Rocks. So he got CBS. That
NBC,
was his first
CBS.
Yeah, that was his first on-air deal with CBS. Then he renews the NBC. So that means now he has partnerships with each of them because he hosts New Year's Rockin' Eve at ABC. And also he's just signed on to continue with American Idol on Fox.
That's still on?
Nah. I know, it is still on, and he's still on it. So I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, that shows a little pitchy to me.
I know. Ooh. There are enough jobs to go around. I mean, why does he have to keep getting all the jobs? It's not fair.
No.
Because
well,
he's just that much better than you and me, Jen.
I guess.
That's just the way it is. We are scum of the earth.
Don't you think it's because he seems so safe, to especially to network executives?
You know
that he's not going to make a mistake,
he's also
not going to get edgy with it.
He's well known.
He's pretty vanilla.
Got a big brand.
He's really vanilla. And he's funny. I mean, he's witty. But I don't understand why. Why do we glom on to just this guy?
Why do we get him on the phone and see if he's got something on somebody?
Yeah. I don't know. Greatest video of Ryan Seacrest is when the blind guy was auditioning for American Idol and he came out and then he tried to give him a high five. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it.
It's one of the funniest moments. He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot you're blind. Yeah. You can't see.
Oh, it wasn't a joke? He wasn't doing it on purpose?
No, it was like, hey, congratulations.
That would be
kind of mean. I wonder how tall he is.
Yeah, he's actually 5'9". I know this.
He is 5'9".
Yeah.
He's as tall as Robert Downey Jr., who's on the list of Hollywood's leading men from shortest to tallest. And Robert Downey Jr. is more or less right in the middle. Johnny Depp is 5'10". At the tall end, did you realize that Vince Vaughn is 6'6"?
Yeah, he's a giant.
He's really tall.
Will Ferrell is 6'3". But let's get down to the other end of the spectrum.
Shorties.
I'm going to give you the top five short from tallest to shortest. 5'8", Mark Wahlberg. Tom Cruise, 5'7". Jack Black, which he would be thrilled to know that he's on the leading man list, 5'6". Daniel Radcliffe, 5'5". And the number one leading man, shortest on the list, at 5'2".
Dinklage.
Kevin Hart.
Oh.
Wow, he's 5'2"?
He's 5'2".
You know, they may have more money than I do, but I feel better because I am taller than them.
Exactly. So Danny DeVito's 5 feet tall,
Not even a leading man.
I know, but still, I mean, it's funny how much taller people seem on TV.
And that was a list right there. But coming up next, the list to end all lists. In fact, after you hear this list, all other lists will be rendered unnecessary. Where to find the best burritos in America? How did L.A. fare? It's next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. Having fun on today's As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. Glad you're here listening to KFWB News Talk 980. We're on every weekday afternoon at 2. I'm Phil Hewlett, Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Campadonia, Chris Martin. The friends are here. And I can't remember when we've had a list that I enjoyed talking about more than this one, and we haven't even begun talking about it. And joining us live now is the Daily Meals Eat and Dine editor, Dan Myers. Dan, I envy you. I don't envy your bunkmate, but I envy you because if I understand this right, maybe you have to travel the entire nation eating burritos to come up with this list. Is that what you did?
I wish I had to travel the entire nation eating all these burritos.
How'd you come up with the list?
Well, we actually put together a big survey with more than 100 burritos from all across the country, and then we sent it out to a panel of burrito experts, which is actually a thing, and as well as a whole bunch of.
Wait, is a burrito expert like a bunch of drunk college guys? Like, what are we talking about here?
You know, right?
It's bloggers, it's journalists in all of the major cities, people who really know the food scene in each of their cities. And when you know the food scene, you tend to also know burritos at the same time.
Yeah, because, all right, let's talk about what makes a great burrito, according to these bloggers and journalists and others.
Yeah, so first of all, there needs to be a good selection of meats, add-ons, vegetables. You should be able to really customize it as much as possible. All the meats need to be fresh. It can't be sitting out for a week by the time you eat it. You need to be able to customize your order. And also, it needs to already have some level of renown because, you know, in all of the cities, the journalists that live there, that work there, the people that eat out, they know the burritos. And so we looked for places that are already well established as being places that sell great burritos, but all of the above really went into
Does size and calorie count and lard content, all these things, does that work into the process?
Does size matter?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Most of the burritos you find these days are Chipotle size, seems to be the average. But there are places all across the country also that, you know, the original burrito was pretty small. You can eat actually two of them. So there are some places that still hew pretty closely to what the original Mexican burrito
All right.
was.
Well, and that leads me to my question, which is there are so many different types. You have the mission-style burrito that originated in San Francisco. You have the California burrito that has everything but the kitchen sink. And then you have the original. So do you have different categories, or are you trying to compare all these different kinds?
Well, you know, the only types of burritos that we didn't include in this ranking are the breakfast burritos and also fusion burritos like the Kogi truck and stuff like that, because, you know, those are a ranking for another day.
That's just made up food right there.
Right, that's apples and oranges. You can't do all that.
All right, you know what? Let's get to the list, and I want you to highlight it for me. And again, this is a list of the best burritos in the country, and what I want you to do also is highlight the cities, because I think California actually fares well on this list. You don't have to hit all of them, but highlight it for me and leave the absolute best for last. Where do we go?
All right, so number 35 is the Taco Surf Taco Shop in San Diego.
Been there.
Very cool. They cook a top sirloin to order, never sits around, and it's just like a real fresh, awesome, beefy burrito. We've got La Pasadita in Chicago. We've got even a place in Morgantown, West Virginia, called Black Bear Burritos.
You wouldn't think they'd be hip to burritos in West Virginia, would you?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't. But you know, it's really all over the map. You know, there's even a place in Sioux City, Iowa, called La Juanita, and it has its origins actually in a Los Angeles lunch truck that started in the 1970s, and they decided to up and move to Sioux City, and now they're serving one of the best burritos in the country.
How about that? Now, San Francisco does factor prominently near the top of the list. Just a quick glance, I saw at least two, maybe three burrito listings in the San Francisco area. Is that right?
Right, yeah. You know, everything that we know and love as a burrito today really started in the Mission District of San Francisco, and there's more burritos there per capita than probably anywhere else in the world. And so, yeah, there's Papalote is there at number four, and La Taqueria, which is probably the most famous taco shop, burrito shop in the country, a real Mission institution, is actually number two on our list.
But the number one, never mind the burritos were created there essentially in San Francisco. The number one is where?
Well, what do you know? It's in Los Angeles.
Hey, look at that.
Is it Alberto's?
It's La Azteca.
La Azteca.
La Azteca.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I got to go. Haven't tried it. Got to try that.
it's the chili relleno burrito that they make there. It's apparently out of this world. People just rave about it. Basically, what they do is they deep fry this chili relleno. That's it's a poblano pepper stuffed with cheese. So you could stop right there and you'd have an amazing meal.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, they wrap it up in a tortilla. And then if you want, they can put some carnitas, they can put some carne asada, they'll put all the burrito fixings in there.
And this is right on East Cesar Chavez Avenue off the 710. Is that what you're talking about? Is that where it is? You don't know, do you? Is that it?
Yep. I'm looking at this chili relleno burrito, and it looks insane.
So this is East L.A.
Yeah, and East Los. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, we have the entire list on our show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com, all 35 of them, and we love you over there at the Daily Meal. Thank you. You're the Eat and Dine editor, Dan Myers. Got to get a burrito now. You've ruined us.
Hopefully I put you in the mood for one.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, buddy. There you go. All right, that was fun. See, that's the best list, isn't it? Burritos? It's better than the burger list.
I need a list of best microwave burritos.
No, come on. Wait a minute. I build you up as this picture of health, and you're talking about microwave burritos.
Well, healthy microwave burritos.
Yeah, of course, of course. All right, Jay, while we're talking healthy, there was a lady recently who was arrested.
Yeah, she wasn't so healthy.
She had to work on her diet in the back seat.
So here's the deal. A woman in Florida gets pulled over for DUI. She was driving erratically, and, you know, it happens. So she gets pulled over. She gets in the back of the squad car, and there's a police camera there. In Orlando, Florida, when you get in the back seat of a squad car, a police cruiser, you are on closed-circuit TV.
Of course you are. Cop cam.
Well, the woman proceeded to... They didn't cuff her yet. It's kind of one of those, let me get you out of your car, let me search your car, and you just sit here for a while. You just sit tight. Woman proceeds to pull out a giant bag of pot and then start to eat it.
Ooh. Wow.
In the back seat.
That's your daily allowance of fiber right there.
I believe so. So now she's also been busted on possession. So,
all right. Well, I can tell you that if you inherit a ton of money, you unless you're just not wise with your money, you won't be busted, flat busted, or other unless you spend some money at the plastic surgeon, some other type of busted. But just the same, Chris, you have an inheritance story for us, don't you?
I do. I have an inheritance story about a multimillionaire that might be giving his fortune to his dogs. This guy, Ron Sturgeon, he's a multimillionaire, and he's actually pitching this reality series called Going to the Dogs. It's out of Texas. He's worth about $75 million, and the show basically pits his family against each other to pander to this guy to see who he's going to leave his fortune to when he dies, and right now the dogs are leading the list.
That's ridiculous.
Right. It's shades of Leona Helmsley. Remember when she left her fortune?
Yeah.
The hotel
right,
queen.
Little doggy.
Right.
Yeah.
He says they just need to keep sucking up to old Big Daddy, which is apparently what he asked them to call him.
You know, when a dog goes into the bank or the financial advisor and they say, who'd you like to leave your fortune to? And you think about how a dog thinks. Don't you think most dogs would leave their fortune to their chew toy?
The fire hydrant on 5th and Main.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Rupert
all right.
Down the way. These dogs have a bunch of, like, live-in dog nannies and all that stuff. The guy says he's not sure if anyone can love him like his dogs do, which is why he's going to leave them a fortune.
Unconditional. How much fortune? $80 million, it says?
Close to $80
million, Holy cow. Holy dog. Hey, this is the most dangerous time of the year. Did you know this? For teenagers. Up next, we'll tell you why and what you can do to help your teen survive the dog days of summer here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Just looking at pictures online of that chili relleno burrito, courtesy of Jennifer Bjorklund. Thank you for finding it on Yelp.
She suggested a field trip.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad idea.
You know, I'm halfway there. I'm mobile, so.
Are you? You're in the mobile newsroom today, had I known.
I know. I can make a run.
Be careful out there, because summertime means danger time for teens. By the way, you're listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980. A lot can happen that can injure your team or your teen, or worse, and we want to help with this next segment here. Joining us live is the president of Save Your Teen Driver, Bob Ragazzo. Bob, thank you very much. Of course, teens get into a lot of trouble behind the wheel, but give us some numbers on teens during this time of year in terms of how dangerous things are.
Thanks, Phil. Great to be here. Every year we lose 1,000 kids during the summer. It's almost like clockwork, and it's very sad to say. We just need to start doing a much better job. We've got a number of reasons that this happens, that it spikes at this time of year, and I've got a few ideas on how we might, to give parents so they can combat this.
Good. Let's talk about that. And are we really talking about driving for the most part?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
All right. Give us some.
I am the defensive driving instructor.
Good. All right. So what's the best thing we can do to convince our teens to be responsible behind the wheel? Because after all, they probably feel pretty invincible at this age.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one. Convincing him and having him tell you, oh, yeah, Dad, no problem. Yeah, Mom, I will certainly follow those guidelines. No problem at all. They've got peer pressure. They've got all kinds of outside influences. The thing we need to do is really train them better. But for the short term, you know, you can – what you need to do is – I've got a four-step formula I call LIVE, L-I-V-E. And for the summer, you know, you limit their access to the car. Make them ask permission to use the car. Statistics are very clear. Kids who have free access to the car have a 50% higher crash rate. It's something that shocked me when I found out about it.
Yeah. Well, there's the L, limit the access to the car. You've already limited their chance of getting in an accident just by limiting access. Okay, I got that.
And it kind of leads to the next one, which is the I, involve yourself in what you're doing. What they're doing, they may not like it, but somebody has to be the adult here. And, of course, if they're asking you for access to the car, you're involving yourself because you know pretty much, okay, where are you going? Assuming they, of course, the little darlings never lie to us, but.
Yeah. Oh, so you're at Coachella? Great. Get an extra ticket. How about two? Mom and Dad, we're both coming.
Yeah. Oh, God.
The V is a volunteer. You know, we, at summertime, volunteer. Just tell them you'll drive them. You know, you just got to make sure that you're well-rested and not drowsy. And, of course, as adults, we know better than to drink adult beverages and drive. But, you know, volunteer to be their chauffeur because, especially if they have a late-night party. Yeah. My 18-year-old, they just had project graduation for their senior graduation, and it was a great idea. But somebody there got the bright idea that six in the morning was too long, and so they cut it off at 3 in the morning. Well, I was ready at 3 in the morning to go pick up my kid. I made sure that he was not driving home drowsy, but it's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
You know, the kids should not be coming home at that time of the morning.
All right, so get us over to the E now in LIVE. We have limit access, involve yourself, and volunteer. What's the E?
The E is enforce. So enforce the house rules. Don't let them go out the window. It's summertime. It's vacation time. Doesn't mean that the safety rules go out the window because it has tragic results, right? So enforce your state's graduated driver's license laws. If they're a probationary driver, make sure they're not loading that car up with kids, even if they're not a probationary driver. 18, 19-year-old kids have crashes every single day because they got too many kids in the car. And, of course, when there's a bunch of kids in the car, there's a party going on.
Yeah, of course. So, Bob Ragazzo is the president of Save Your Teen Driver. Bob, how'd you get involved in this crusade?
Well, it's there's a tap on the shoulder there, you know. It's just somebody had to do it. We train fleet drivers all the time, and we're, you know, constantly hearing about the big problem of teenage driving. And, of course, my two young kids are a constant source of concern for my wife and I. And I realized, I said, you know, we teach fleet drivers, experienced drivers, the mental aspects of driving. And we managed to cut their crash rates by 30% to 60%, and yet we don't teach the kids any of this stuff in driver's ed.
I don't know what it's like that you're on the East Coast, and out here, I can tell you there are a lot of driving companies in Southern California that are just phoning it in, and somehow the state allows it to happen, and kids are just not getting the kind of training that we used to get back in the day when Dad used to let us drive the tractor or the motorcycle or the family camper in the middle of the desert, you know, when we were 9 or 10 years old. We had a fair amount of driving experience under our belt by the time we even knew where the DMV was. But these days, nothing.
Yeah, well, experience is great, but, you know, you've got to be trained in the proper ways. So it is good, you know, certainly in handling the vehicle, but the mental aspects are a big part of it. And, you know, next time you're in a car, you look in your rearview mirror, you should be scanning your mirrors every 3 to 5 seconds anyway, and see how close the car behind you is. If you can't see their entire front end, they're way too close. And in California, just like in New Jersey, you very seldom can see that entire front end of the car.
Now, you have the three big lies about teen driver training. We have a link to those three big lies there on our links page of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Any of that you want to reveal here, or should we save that for people to go check them out?
Well, you know, it's the three big lies are what you touched on. The first is that driver's ed does not teach our kids to be safe drivers. It just teaches our kids to pass a driving test. The second is that passing a driving test and getting a license means that your kid knows how to drive. too many of us as parents get victimized by this, by allowing, you know, the conventional wisdom and say, okay, my kid must know how to drive. They got a driving driver's license. What it really is a license to learn how to drive at a job where on the job training, one mistake can cost you your life. And then the third is the experience factor, Phil. You know, it's great to get experience, but we get experience in bad habits. So we manage to avoid problems a little longer because we make that risky left turn, but we've learned how to do it in such a way that it keeps us a little bit safer. But one day our number's up. So experience is not the teacher. What you need to do is train it and make sure you've got the foundation and then get the experience. Sort of like throwing to second base, trying to get that put out at first. You know, you're just not going to do it.
Gotcha. Well, Bob Ragazzo, you're the president of Save Your Teen Driver. We thank you very much for spending some time. You've awakened us to the challenge ahead, especially the enforcement part, I think, for a lot of parents. But thanks for that. And again, if you want to see the three big lies, we have a link to that at our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. All right. Talking about driving, Chris, we talk about Uber a lot, especially with our tech guy, Jeremy Anticone, on Thursdays when he comes on. He takes the Uber cars all the time. But now there's an upgrade. Tell us about that.
You know, Uber's becoming very popular. I see it all over the place. But in North Carolina, they did this thing where if you logged on to the VIP package when you signed up for Uber, a guy would show up in a $230,000 Bentley Continental GT V8S, which, you know, Jennifer probably knows what all that means.
Oh, exactly.
So it's a beautiful
just
car.
Just nod your head.
But something interesting I learned about the dispatch process, here's how it works. Uber gives each driver an iPhone 4 of their own. It runs the company software. And then when a potential customer comes in, the driver has 15 seconds to accept it or it rolls over to another driver. And once the driver accepts it, the person looking for a ride can track you wherever you are and see where you are and how far away you are from picking them up. Nobody talks to anybody in the whole process.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And
you're
the best part.
What kind of a car are you in?
A Bentley Continental GT V8S, almost a quarter of a $1 million car.
Did you Google that yet, Jen?
Nope.
It's beautiful. Check it out.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah. The article, the guy goes and picks up a bunch of people, but they weren't all that very impressed. A couple of people were, you know. He was trying to surprise him, and they were just like, look, get me to where I got to go to dinner.
Yeah, I'm drunk.
I just want to get there.
I just want to go through Jack in the Box, dude.
And the Bentley.
You want to end on a little uplifting note here?
Of course.
In January, a Marine named Jacinto Bernardo, he bought a house near San Francisco that needed a bunch of work. So he asked a Marine buddy to keep an eye on it while he was out on his final Marine assignment. Okay, so he's out somewhere, overseas perhaps. He got home last week. This was January until now. He found out his friend had raised a whole bunch of money, and he did $70,000 worth of renovations on the house while he was there.
That's amazing.
Is that awesome?
That's so cool.
How about you do something nice? It doesn't have to be $70,000 worth, but tune into our program again tomorrow. And we love your comments. Our email address is feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. Mike Stark is our executive producer. For Jennifer, Jay, and Chris, I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.